Welcome to RHRealityCheck.org's RealityCast, where we inject truth into the sex and reproductive health debate. Each week, we'll be bringing you news, opinion, and advice on sexual health issues, as well as interviews with some of the most prominent names in sexual health advocacy. Here's your host, Amanda Marcotte.
This week on RealityCast, we'll be skipping the interview and letting our hardworking activists and authors enjoy the holidays a little bit longer. Instead, we'll have segments on Jamie Lynn Spears and motherhood, Jamie Lynn Spears and sex education, and a non-Spears segment on the assault on Planned Parenthood in Denver. I'd like to bring everyone's attention to an interesting anniversary detailed on the blog Executed Today. On December 27, 1739, New Hampshire performed its first executions by killing Penelope Kenny and Sarah Simpson for the crime of infanticide. Simpson, for the record, claimed it was a miscarriage, but the state decided that too was a crime punishable by death. Obviously, there's more to the story, and the crime of having sex outside of marriage is the relevant issue. Both women were pregnant out of wedlock, and having a child outside of marriage in that society might make it so hard to earn a living that you and your child could die of starvation. Infanticide horrifies us now, but back then it was a matter of survival. It's by no means clear that the executions were solely because of the infanticide and had nothing to do with punishing women for their sexuality. If you check the link provided on the podcast page, you'll see that the legal documents have more language about lewd women and bastard children than about murder. I'll confess, I'm fascinated by the public reaction to Jamie Lynn Spears announcing that she's pregnant at 16. It's been a really good opportunity to watch all the attitudes about pregnancy, women's rights, and motherhood that are concealed under a bunch of politically correct code language like pro-life and abstinence come boiling to the surface. I feel kind of bad for Spears, since she's in a classic damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. First, there's the sex itself. Damned if you do, you whore, and damned if you don't, you tease. Then there's the contraception aspects. Damned if you do, since you planned it and only sluts plan it. Damned if you don't, because, whoops, pregnant. Then there's the post-conception choice. Damned if you get an abortion because of the pious, empty-headed nonsense about how it's bad. Damned if you don't get an abortion because then everyone will condemn you for being that demonized stereotype, the teenage mother. This clip from CNN captures the no-win aspects of this whole thing very well.
I think that Nickelodeon may decide that, look, it's been a great ride. We've had a great three seasons. We've been nominated for an Emmy. But now it's time for you to go on to motherhood.
Hey, you know, Lola, even if she goes away for a couple of years, she'll just be 18 when she comes back.
You know, she'll only be 18. The thing that's mind-boggling to me also is you would think after watching her sister struggle with being a mother that she would decide, you know what, I'm watching that cautionary tale and that's not something that I want to do at all. Instead, the fools just rushed right in.
I love how it's supposedly a given that a woman can't be both a mother and have this career. Why not? There's exactly 0% reason that Spears can't have her baby and return to her show. God knows she didn't have the obstacles some women have, like affording daycare. Of course, if you can't afford daycare, you can't afford not to work either. More damned if you do, damned if you don't. I recommend reading the article linked on the podcast page by Jane Hampshire about how mothers are put in this situation where everyone sits in judgment and no choices are right. I'd also like to recommend this blog post by Jesse Wendell at the Group News blog about the furor over Congresswoman Kirsten Gillibrand's having the nerve I tell you, to have a baby while in office as if she were a man or something. He's responding to a letter to the editor of the Glen Falls Post-Star who argues that pregnancy is a fine excuse to wield against women to keep us out of power. I quote from the letter. And now, I have to add serving in the U.S. House and Senate as an occupation that may not be suitable for women. Miss Gillibrand's current pregnancy makes a strong case for my opinion. Miss Gillibrand was elected to serve her constituency, and while she is away from her elected office, she cannot perform those duties. The taxpayers who were duped into voting for her will have to pay for her medical benefits. Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer, Miss Gillibrand receives excellent health benefits, courtesy of her constituents. We will be without representation in Congress for the time leading up to and following the child's birth. There will be times when she and the new baby will visit doctors. You can add those days to the total. She will not be serving her constituents. Jesse tears this letter to shreds, but I'd like to add that I'm not impressed at all by this line of argument. By his logic, no human being should actually serve in Congress, since we all have biological bodies that are capable of injury or illness that might require medical treatment or time off of work. Hell, we all have to sleep, taking 8 whole hours a night away from your ability to represent your constituents. But even if you accept the silly idea that pregnancy is somehow more debilitating than, say, a bum heart or a past of having cancer like many males of Congress have, then that's no reason to say that all women should be out of Congress. I'm fairly certain most of our most powerful female leaders are past the age of having children. It's not like Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi is going to pull a John Kennedy on us and have small children around while performing the duties of high office. As has been briefly discussed on this show before, the announcement that a new state-of-the-art Planned Parenthood is being built in Denver, Colorado was bound to draw the anti-choice nuts who've got a new tactic that was developed here in Austin, Texas. That tactic? Threatening the contractors who actually take the work building the clinic. Chris Danz of Austin, Texas, openly bragged about his willingness to stalk contractors and threaten their family's safety if they dared build women's clinics in Austin. Family values means threatening children, wouldn't you know? The Denver community is not taking this crap from the misogynist nuts either. Fox 31 in Denver has been doing an expose on the way anti-choicers openly embrace terrorist tactics to delay the construction of a new Planned Parenthood. They interviewed one contractor who quit the job, even though it was a good, well-paid contract, because he feared for his children and his home, which was being picketed by the anti-choice crazies.
Little did the Romanian immigrant know what was in store.
Filmed my house for about 5 minutes, I guess, several minutes anyway. From every single corner, every single detail. It felt me terrible. I have a 14-year-old and I was just terrified.
It's worth noting that communist Romania was an anti-choicer's dream world. Mandatory pregnancy checks, an abortion ban, a ban on contraception, criminal investigations into miscarriages, and a minimum birth requirement. They also got an astronomical death rate from illegal abortion and orphanages stuffed full of children that were destined to have lifelong problems from their childhood neglect. Widespread poverty and misery in service of an anti-woman agenda? Paradise on Earth. Anti-choice nut Will Duffy issued the standard terrorist defense on Good Day Colorado.
Anyone that's willing to work for Planned Parenthood, from the abortionist to the Planned Parenthood worker, right on down to the contractor that's willing to build them a building designed to rip the arms and legs off unborn children, is complicit in the crimes Planned Parenthood commits.
What's interesting about these tactics is they basically turn the community against you. Anti-choicers are better off pretending they're just deeply religious people who are out of touch with reality and just really love babies. At least then thanking people get all sentimental and condescending. Let's be nice to the pitiful people who are just too naive to get that you can't take away a woman's rights just because you think babies are so cute. But once you start to terrorize people in their own homes, they aren't going to like you so much. Like this guy they interviewed who does not like protesters camping out on his front lawn threatening his neighbors.
Do you see my daughter in there asking what this is? She's 3 years old. And the police are going to protect this?
It is a good question. Why are the police offering protection to people who are there to send the message, I know where you live and how to get to your children? It's crazy that the religious right has enough power to induce protection for people who would be considered stalkers and potentially violent if they were doing this for any other reason. All this is beginning to worry me. There's been a decline in actual violence against clinics and workers for a long time now, but the escalation of hostile terrorist strategies against Planned Parenthood and the more recent attacks like the arson of an Albuquerque woman's clinic are hinting that things may turn ugly again. There's a new wrinkle in the scandal that erupted because Jamie Lynn Spears didn't quietly get an abortion while publicly condemning it. Nickelodeon is considering having a special with Linda Ellerbee about sex, love, and the importance of being responsible about your sexual activity on the network to address the parental panic over this whole issue. Upon hearing that Nickelodeon might help prevent a single teenage pregnancy, the talking heads at the morning show on MSNBC went bonkers. What's really great about this clip is they don't even try to give lip service to the idea that kids shouldn't be having babies when they're too young. It's all about you have the sex, you should be punished, punished, punished.
But I am concerned this Nickelodeon special is going to be some like liberal, let's teach your kids how to make sure you don't get pregnant kind of show.
How dare they? Who doesn't want their kids to get pregnant? I know if I had kids, I'd be wanting them to get pregnant at ages 11 or 12, and I wouldn't want a stupid TV network telling them how to protect themselves until they're ready or something crazy like that. Doesn't every parent want that for their daughters? Early childbirth, or at least the exciting experience of youthful abortions? And then she continues to be horrified at these immoral kids escaping what is apparently their duty to have lots and lots of babies to no end, except, I suppose, as punishment for the evil sex.
Look at the front page of the New York Times today, and the quote of the teenager, quite frankly, on the front page of the New York Times. Does anybody have it? Because, yes, you do, right here. We've got, there's no excuse for us for not using contraception, says Michaela Viscarello, 16 years old, student in Concord, Massachusetts. So, I mean, this is a prevailing kind of school of thought that's happening. You have a school system in Maine handing out birth control.
Right.
The cover story here is that kids shouldn't be having sex, blah, blah, blah. But it's clear from the focus of her outrage that the real issue is that kids are using contraception when they do have sex. How dare they, when the rest of us are so old and have jobs and stuff and can't have carefree sex with teenage bodies ever again? They should at least do us the courtesy of suffering unintended pregnancy so we feel better about sagging and stuff. They should just repeat abstinence proponent Leslie Unruh's little breakdown on national television over and over as the official reaction to teen sexuality in the news.
I want more babies.
All right.
More babies.
Well, you seem to agree
we
on all
babies.
The issues.
This would be an opportune time, I think, to point out the ulterior motives of the anti-choice maneuvers to maximize the number of teenage girls having babies. You know those Choose Life Florida license plates? Well, the money raised from those is supposed to help encourage women not to get abortions by helping them with the expenses of a pregnancy. But the money isn't really getting spent. Why not? Because you only get the money if you give the baby up for adoption. So really, it's not about stopping abortion at all, but about replenishing the baby market with fresh babies, preferably white and healthy, of course. This is why I'm against the whole frame where abortion opponents, at least the organized ones, are painted as simple-minded fools that just love babies. There's an entire plan here, even though it's too crazy to work. Basically, the idea is to ban contraception and ban abortion and ban sex education to make sure there's a steady stream of teenage girls producing babies that can be snatched away from them and sent to live with older couples that have earned it by giving the appearance of obedience. Perfect, right? The only people who suffer in this system are the girls who have their babies snatched from them in despair and the women who are mutilated by illegal abortion. But hey, in the anti-choice view, those women and girls have it coming because they're so sinful and all. And now for the wisdom of Wingnuts, with this American Life League video about how if you're pro-choice, your only real motivation could be that you want to kill the baby Jesus.
The secular world will go to great lengths to avoid any reference to the Son of God. But while Christians all over the world prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, Planned Parenthood advertises its wish that it had gotten to him sooner. Their annual line of holiday cards bearing the phrase, "Choice on Earth," is a mockery of the Christian theme of peace on earth.
They later compare abortion to King Herod's baby-killing rampage, which is safely in the category of biblical legend instead of historical fact. There's not much to say to this, except that it's amusing how they think that being pro-choice means that you want to abort every pregnancy ever, which implies that unless women are forced to have babies, they never would, which in turn implies that they think keeping all women in sexual slavery is the survival strategy for the human race. Not that they'd use that kind of evolutionary theory-tainted language or anything. All I know is that if I'd known that Planned Parenthood had Choice on Earth cards sooner, I might have actually bothered to send out Christmas cards this year.
That's it for this week's edition of Reality Cast. Please tune in next week for another dose of reality in the sexual health debate. Visit www.rhrealitycheck.org and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter, various news feeds, and daily emails. Thanks for listening and see you next week.